Better try and use this thing. My name is Dave Durenberger, and I am the Executive Vice Chairman of the Governor's Commission on the Arts. I wasn't that when we started, but that happened about halfway through the process. My chief function is to start meetings for the chairman. I find out. Steve should be here shortly. That's phrased in the imperative. Let me start by thanking you all for coming to this meeting and trying to briefly outline what the commission has been doing and the way that it's been doing it. And I understand you've had passed out to you one of the drafts of the findings and recommendations of the commission. That at the present time is not a complete set of findings and recommendations, but they are the findings and recommendations that will be, some of which were considered at the last commission meeting, which I think was middle of October, the 18th or something like that. The rest of them will be considered at the November 1st commission meeting, and we're planning what we hope is a final meeting of the commission on November 15th. We had a relatively simple charge from the governor, which was to report to him on who was doing what in the arts in the state of Minnesota, and where the money was coming from to finance all that arts activity, and then to project out approximately 10 years who was going to be doing what in the arts and where the money was going to come from to finance all that activity. We spent the first two or three, maybe four at this point, months of that project watching the stadium bill go up and down through this room and several others around this building. And I don't have to tell most of you that major new funding for the arts in Minnesota was tied at various times and in various ways to the proposal to build a new stadium in downtown Minneapolis. So there was always some question early in the life of this commission as to how long the commission would last and whether or not the governor's needs for information might be satisfied instead by a major appropriation to the State Arts Board for the arts. When the bill died, or whatever happens to bills like that, as far as the 76th session was concerned, the governor reiterated his charge to the commission and indicated that regardless of what happened as far as any state appropriation is concerned, he thought it would be good both for the public and private sector in Minnesota to get the answers to the questions that he had originally raised. So at that point, we hired a research director and expanded our staff and went seriously at the work of the research work that went into the report of the commission. The bulk of that research, and I would venture to say the most valuable part of that research, deals with the nonprofit arts organizations in the state of Minnesota. We have done what, when Jimmy gets time around Christmas, to finish it off, I think we have done a rather unique and a very comprehensive, not as well probably as he would like to do it if he had more time, but a very comprehensive study of the role of education in the arts, and have come up with some perhaps surprising, only because nobody's thought about it before, information about the importance of education from K through 16, 18, 20, whatever, the importance of education to the arts in Minnesota. We've also done similar types of research into the role of community organizations, governmental agencies, Parks and Recreation, daycare centers, a variety of these sorts of ancillary arts organizations. We've taken a brief look with Ron McCoy's help at the role of the media in delivering arts services and looked at the arts from as many different ways as we thought possible. But as I started to say, I think the most important thing that we have done is our research on nonprofits arts organizations. Because the by far the bulk of arts services and by far the bulk of private financial support and earned income support for the arts comes into the system through the work of the nonprofits in the state of Minnesota. We are very dependent, we were very dependent, and now obviously we are very grateful to the nonprofits who responded to the 7th, 8th, 9th, or 10th questionnaire they'd received over the period of the last 18 months for the information that went into that analysis. I think something like 78% of the 351 arts organizations in the state of Minnesota responded to that survey. And either it was the quality of the survey or the quality of the responses, but we feel that the information that we got back from that survey is extremely good and extremely important to our recommendations. Jimmy Powell on my right has had the responsibility lately of analyzing that information. The bulk of the work was done by Mary Ellen Johnson Dunn. But from the information we gleaned from that survey, we were able to and are going to be able to, as part of our report, respond to the governor's question, which is, where are the arts at in the state of Minnesota? Where is the money coming from to support the arts? And what is it going to look like in 1977, 8, 9, 1980, 1981, 1982, 1983, and 1984. Jimmy has put together something that he affectionately calls the trend model, which is his response to the Governor's Commission on the Future, which found it too difficult to predict the future of the arts, so they didn't bother doing it. Jimmy, I think, took that as a challenge and has come up with a trend model that we feel confident has enabled us to quite accurately, some people say depending on who's elected president, predict what it's going to cost to fund nonprofit expenditures for nonprofit arts organizations out over the next 8 or 9 years, what role earned income is going to play in financing those arts services, how much endowment income or organizational support, as we call it, is going to have to play in that, and then the balance, which is like about 45% according to our figures, is going to have to come from what contributed sources. And without getting into any substantial detail on the subject, just indicate to you that earned income in Minnesota has been a very substantial, non-fluctuating percentage of the total amount needed for expenditures. Endowment income has been about the same, but in the 45% of the total, which is contributed income, there has been a very substantial decline in the percentage of private contributions and an increase in public contributions to fill the gap between expenditures and income. Now, that obviously does not mean that the private sector is not supporting the arts. In fact, the private sector is putting more money into the arts each year, but as a percentage of the total that's required, the private sector has declined in the operating expenditures area from something like 36% to something like 26%. And you'll see in these recommendations, and I'll just turn this over to Steve here in a second, you see that one of our recommendations is to that in the future, we try to hold private contributions at 25% of the total and not let it slip below. And that means that the balance, or 20%, has to come from the public sector. And that means local government, state government, and the National Endowment for the Arts. But there's lots of other information. That was the responsive type information we were able to pull from that questionnaire, and that Jimmy was able to build into an 80-page report on where the arts are going financially. We have information, I think, out of that study on practically every phase of the operation of the nonprofit arts organizations in the state of Minnesota. The only other thing that I suppose it's important for me to say is that were we to do this whole process over again, we would probably do it somewhat differently. We would have taken 2 years or 3 years to do it, like every other commission around this country that's been created to do this sort of thing. We have been operating under a time bind, so to speak, with an objective of trying to finish our work this fall, and by all means to have it done and out by the end of the year. But I think we found as we went along that we had designed such a, I hate to use the word perfect, but near perfect research model, at least as far as pulling out information on the nonprofit arts organization, that the whole process of digesting and analyzing that took substantially longer than we expected it to. So through the summer and into the fall, we had both research and analysis of research going on at the same time. And I think we feel now that they're both coming out together and on the same track, but I think we all would have been much more comfortable had we had the time to do all of our research first and then involved the commission and the public more in the analysis of that research. But in effect, they're both happening at the same time, and the conclusions are basically the same, so it doesn't bother us a great deal. It's just a hell of a lot of work and a great strain on the staff and on our finances. On the subject of finances for the commission, this is a question that always comes up. One of the first things we did when we started this was to resolve not to reinvent the wheel. But as we looked around the country, and we looked to the NEA, and we looked to some major national organizations, we looked to other states, hoping to find that the wheel had already been invented, we found that various people in various parts of this country had taken a stab at analyzing where the arts were at and where they were going, that many of them worked under major foundation grants, many of them worked under NEA grants or other publicly funded grants, but that we were one of the first and maybe the only to tackle this endeavor strictly from contributions from the private sector. The only public contribution, I guess, besides the patience of the governor and other elected officials, to this whole project is one CETA-funded research position that may amount to something like $7,000 or $6,000 over the course of this project. Otherwise, the project in total, including the printing that we do, will cost in the neighborhood of $125,000 to $130,000, and all of that has been contributed by corporations, foundations, and individuals around the state of Minnesota. The largest grant has been from the Northwest Area Foundation in St. Paul, formerly the Hill Foundation, with $29,500. All the others are substantially smaller than that, but range anywhere from $4,000 to $6,000 to $8,000 to $10,000. We have computerized all of the what we think is the important information. The primary questionnaire on nonprofits arts organizations has been processed, data processed, computer processed, whatever it is, by the University of Minnesota. And so the design is there and the capacity is there to update all of this stuff periodically. All of the information on private sector giving Foundation Corp and Corporation Giving, and we did a sort of a first-time-ever analysis of corporate and foundation giving in Minnesota in connection with this study, in which we asked we really asked all corporations with sales of over $5 million a year and all foundations in Minnesota to fill out a five-page questionnaire covering all of their giving. So a kind of a byproduct of all of this research, for those of you who may be interested in things other than the arts, education, religion, social services, health and education, will be a report on private giving in Minnesota, which we did in conjunction with the Minnesota Council on Foundations, which will again be available to the public and which will be updated from year to year, and we think will be a vital resource to all people who survive or grow on contributed income. A lot of that too is computer-based, and most of that computer time and energy and analysis and the reports and everything were done by Control Data Corporation and contributed to the state and to this commission by Control Data. So that's where we've been. We compare what we did with scratching around with contributed resources recently with what the Lou Harris people did for the state of Washington, I guess, for what, $180,000?
Right.
And that was an NEA grant or some such thing. We think the quality of our product, when you finally get to see it, will be substantially better than that. Again, it points out that, like everything, it seems that happens in Minnesota, you want to do something badly enough, you go around to people that are committed. You don't go to government to get it done. You go around to people in the private sector that are committed to see something happen, and if you're willing to put in the time and the effort, they help to help you to make sure that it happens. So with that kind of an overview, I think, Steve, they have had what you have in front of you passed out to them, and I'll just turn the meeting over to Steve Flom, the chairman of the commission.
Okay, thank you, David. This has been a monumental effort, as you all know, and we are most grateful to all the time that all of you have put into this, directly through your organizations and indirectly as volunteers in getting information into the commission. We've tried as far as it was possible to end up with some hard figures as to what's going on with the state of arts, in the state of the arts in Minnesota. And I think we all were particularly sensitive to the fact that figures are very, very hard to come by in this area and hard to substantiate. And we, at least the commission, are looking toward a report which is ultimately going to be received by the legislature, and we hope is going to be the basis of public findings and some statutory assistance in a variety of areas. And as such, it's going to be subject to presumably fairly close scrutiny on what it's based. For that reason, we've spent this enormous amount of time pulling together all this data. And I know for those of you that have had to deal with members of our organization coming back to you not once, but maybe 15 or 20 times, it's been a long ordeal. And again, I'd like to express our appreciation to you. It really has been a community effort. As David has described it to you, what we tried to do was paint a picture of the entire arts industry in Minnesota and try to draw some very general conclusions as to what made it up in terms of financing, attendance, income expenditures. And looking backward over a period of about 6 years, analyzing those patterns to try and project what was going to happen in the next 5 to 10 years, but most importantly, in the next few years, as a basis for trying to make some suggestions on public policy in a number of areas, including one which, of course, is most concerned to all of you, which is public funding. The recommendations that have been handed out to you, I would want to stress, are very preliminary, have not been reviewed by the commission. Some of them have been discussed. Some of them are in the form of almost final recommendations, but the commission itself has not even seen this document. This is the format that is going to the commission. I expect there are going to be several more meetings of the commission to refine them, but we're at the stage where we at least think we know where we're going. And before we come up with final conclusions, we very much wanted to communicate to you where we think we are and get your reactions and input to it so that we are out in left field in one area or another, we at least have the opportunity to reconsider before it gets finally approved, printed, bound, and distributed. With that as a sort of large premise, let me sort of quickly lead you through some of the major areas of the findings and recommendations, and then spend some time on the some of the financial and policy questions which we think we're going to raise from this. The draft that you have in front of you starts out with the framework of the arts organization in terms of their services and commitment from the citizens of the state of Minnesota, because those of you who remember the charge the governor gave us, it was premised in terms of the amount of accessibility that the arts provide to the citizens of the state and the amount of use and need the citizens have of the arts as a kind of yardstick for public support. The first figures, I think, will not shock or surprise you, but for those of us who are intensely concerned and involved about the arts, they're very comforting to know how many Minnesotans are involved in the arts, how many go to an art or cultural event in a year, how many go to more than one. The fact that all knowledge, learning, and interest in the arts is not concentrated in the Twin Cities, that the attendance figures are quite uniform throughout the state, the fact that the dollars in the system are only a fraction of the effort and the real investment that this state has in the arts organizations, we haven't attempted in terms of these findings to catalog or put a value on the hours of service. They add many times to the actual dollars if you use anything like just the minimum hourly wage times the number of volunteer hours that organizations report that people have contributed. But when you see just the sheer number, 25,000 volunteers working in a year, you have a sense of how big the effort is that supports the arts community. There is also the comment based on the surveys from the amount of citizens willing to pay tax dollars to support of the arts, which are very high, and there is a tremendous misconception among many citizens as to how much the state already provides. Most people think it provides far more than it actually does, and most people are prepared to pay far more than the state has dreamed of contributing to date. Going on from that, and I'm now on page two of the outline. Having said how widely spread arts activity is in the state, the other side of the coin is it is also highly concentrated in terms of the volume of activity in the metropolitan area and in a relatively smaller number of organizations. The Twin Cities, with half the population, less than half the population of the state, has 37% of the organizations just in sheer numbers. And these are very crude standards by which to measure anything, but they give at least a sense of activity. The expenditures are tremendously concentrated. 21 of the largest organizations, arbitrarily defined as budgets of over $75,000 a year, spent 92% of all the money in the system. Now, one of the things that has come out in this research is that the pyramid is extremely broadly based, and the very largest organizations obviously spend most of the money, but the smaller organizations, as you move away from that level, make their way with less than dollars put in the system, through a tremendous amount of volunteer effort, so that the dollar figures per se do not accurately reflect the relative size of the organizations in terms of their total impact in the community. But they are, again, one measuring point that's easy to fix on. The deficits that the system picked up, bear in mind that the year we worked with was 1975, and this does vary considerably from year to year, was $1.6 million in the year. And one of the concerns the commission has had is to try and devise the system so that at least the public would know how much it would cost to make the entire system deficit-free. The entire system, in our terminology, is all the arts organizations in Minnesota, regardless of where they're located and regardless of their size. One of the recommendations that the commission is going to make, I expect, is recognition of, on one point, the need to support existing nonprofit arts organizations, and the justification for that is their service to the community. What they provide to the community is a public service, is a public asset, like a library, like a school system. It's not a private for-profit entrepreneurial activity. As such, it is a legitimate source of public expenditure. For that reason, we think that it is eminently justified that the state expend dollars to support all arts organizations in the state in that activity of providing services to their community. We, as a second point, which I think is a less interest for most of this group, feel that the state is going to have an obligation to, and looking ahead, it's clear that one of the major growth areas in the arts is going to be not the largest arts organizations, which have reached, if you will, a level of maturity or development. They will grow, they will have inflation costs, but they're not going to grow by an exponential factor. They're not going to be adding major new buildings and facilities, having tremendous increases in size of staffs and operations. On the other hand, we would expect, to the extent that there's going to be major growth in the arts in this state, that it's going to occur in two areas. One, generally, is in the non-metropolitan area, arts organizations all over the state, particularly as public monies become more available. And secondly, in all of the smaller arts organizations in Minnesota. We wouldn't expect the Minnesota Orchestra to increase dramatically in size, but we would expect a much smaller chamber orchestra, such as Fargo-Moorhead, for example, to increase in size, excellence, touring, and in activities. And the growth, to the extent it is going to occur, and there will be some, we would expect to be concentrated at those two levels rather than the majors, and that is an area where the state can have a role in terms of major public funding and assistance. The other point, which I think is clear to all of us here but needs emphasis in the public forum, is that the role the state is going to play, the role that public dollars is going to play, is always going to be a fraction, and a small fraction, of the total dollars in the system, or the dollars any individual organization has and has to generate. As near as we can estimate, it is going to be around 20% total public funding. Of that, perhaps 60% is state and federal combined. 60% of 20% is 12%, or something of that nature. So the state of Minnesota is not going to move in a major way and run arts organizations. It's not going to be providing the major dollars to keep them alive, and therefore it has to recognize that its role will be one of assistance and advice and providing perhaps a long-range vision, but it is not going to be in a role of dictation or mandating or devising programs and patterns of development. Its role is to encourage, it has to be, to encourage first the organizations themselves in ways that they can generate more income for their own support, and secondly, to the private sector, to encourage it to develop a broader base of funding support for arts organizations. And I think it's very important that we try and focus that for reasons of trying to preserve a sense of perspective of what the state can do and what it feels, what is appropriate in terms of dictation to the arts community. Since those dollars are small, they ought to be highly focused in areas where they can have the maximum assistance, and you cannot mandate the same type of governmental regulation and control in an industry that is 100% publicly funded. Because those dollars are limited, and because it costs a tremendous amount of money to administer public funds through an elaborate public review process, accountability process, citizen participation process, it's expensive to administer public monies. One of our major recommendations is going to be that we would like to see the State Arts Board evolve in its role. At the moment, the State Arts Board, I think, is primarily, if not overwhelmingly, a grant-making institution. It does provide a substantial amount of technical assistance to arts organizations in terms of how to formulate grant requests, putting grant requests in, and other matters, and assistance to arts organizations which are of a of an umbrella agency type, such as the St. Paul Ramsey Arts and Science Council. We would like to see that the State Arts Board evolve from primarily making grants itself. It will always make grants. It will probably always make the major portion of the grants, but that it assume a role of public policy planning and research as well, and that the research and the public policy role can be much more important ultimately, or certainly as important, as the direct dollars that it makes available in the form of grants itself. We see this in the context of two things. One, it's quite clear that there is a very substantial pressure throughout the state in the non-metropolitan areas for far more direct participation in the decision-making of grants requests, and specifically that the regions or that other parts of the state than the state capital through the State Arts Board be making grants to recipient organizations, that they have a direct say in a particular region as to what money is going into that region and where it goes. On the other hand, that from the Commission's point of view, there is a strong need to have a sense of direction and focus for public monies, that particularly if you are to encourage, as the Commission proposes, regional administration of funds, you have to have a plan which determines what are priorities, what organizations should be encouraged to develop because there's a need in a particular area, what organizations are less important in that particular type of development, what criteria should be applied statewide to grant requests, what priorities should be applied statewide to grant requests, and maintaining a bank of research so that the grant-making authorities themselves, whether it's the State Arts Board, regional arts boards, or councils as we refer to them, the arts organizations themselves, foundations and corporations and individuals who make grants to organizations can have a sense of where things are going, the kind of money that is needed for organizations, not only for year one but in the future. So we are encouraging and expect one of the findings of the Commission to be a recommendation that there be devised a statewide plan for arts funding, that the State Arts Board assume the responsibility for putting that plan together with the various regions of the state, which would have input in it in its decision-making, and that grants thereafter be made in accordance with that plan, so there's some sort of criteria for them. And we hope in that process that we can bring a little more efficiency and economy in the grant-making request than is currently there. That, the latter is not an absolute certainty, but it would be a fallout effect from a more of a codified system of making requests. Proposal as to how monies go, I'd like to defer for a moment and get to just a brief recapitulation of what Jimmy's work has produced in terms of how the system looks to us on the commission. David Dernberger mentioned to you that we have been able to break down into some very broad categories where the money is in the system. It appears to us that on a system-wide basis, all the arts organizations in Minnesota, averaged together, earn, on an average, for all the organizations, approximately 47% of their budget. That's ticket sales, receipts, etc. Now, that varies within the industry. A museum obviously earns far less on ticket sales, earned revenue, than a performing arts organization such as a theater, an orchestra, ballet company. But taking them all together, it is approximately 47%. The organizations on a system-wide basis, and bear in mind that the total dollars indicate would, since so much of them are generated by the largest organizations, this looms as a large figure in the system as a whole, not in individual organizations. In the whole system, approximately 8% of their income comes from what we've referred to as organizational support. Organizational support is endowment, income from endowment, income from facilities. The 47, the 8 add up to the 55% that David referred to, leaving the 45%, which has to be contributed. The 45% contributed income has been broken down between private sector and public sector support. Private sector support has been declining, according to the figures we've produced, from, I believe, Jimmy, is it 38%, 36% in the last 5 years, to around 25%, just slightly over 25% in the year 1975. We are projecting that, first of all, clearly private sector support has to be there and has to be there in at least that amount to continue to generate a sufficient public interest in maintaining and supporting the system. So we are targeting as a system-wide responsibility that private sector support be at 25%. It's going to take a major effort to keep it at that, particularly when you see the dollars and what's happened to those dollars with inflation. That leaves approximately 20% public sector support. From the data that we've been able to gather from the sources in Washington, the Congressional Budget Office, the Office of Management Budget, and the administrative side, and their figures and their trends, it looks as though the National Endowment for the Arts will be lucky to preserve, as the money is coming to it, a growth rate that matches inflation but does not increase beyond inflation. In other words, in real dollars, after you eliminate inflation, it looks as though the National Endowment, which has grown dramatically in the last few years, has reached a stage where it is about to level off. That appears to comport with political reality. The National Endowment in the last few years has had increasing difficulty in getting its current level of funding, plus an inflation factor, let alone trying to achieve quantum jumps. Our premise, to be very conservative in the figures we present to the state in terms of state responsibility, is that the National Endowment funds for the state of Minnesota and elsewhere are not going to increase in quantum jumps. They will increase only by an inflation rate, and the system is going to increase by an inflation rate. So federal money to the system is not going to increase other than the inflation that's in everything. That leaves the component, and we have a real dollar figure in our data for the National Endowment Funds. That leaves there's a remainder of the state responsibility, the remainder of that 20%. Historically, approximately 55% of that state money has been in the form of county and municipal money. And that has been, of course, overwhelmingly Hennepin and Ramsey counties, which have been in this the longest. Hennepin County giving to the Society of Fine Arts, Ramsey County to the St. Paul Ramsey Arts and Science Council. A number of other counties do give money, and city governments do give money to arts organizations. In total dollars, they don't come close to the tremendous amount that those two counties are now putting in the system. Nevertheless, we are assuming that that is going to be one area where more and more money is going to be generated, and it has to be generated, to keep the system afloat in the future. And one of the things we are going to be recommending is that public policy through the legislature be directed to encouraging and providing incentives for county and local funding to arts organizations. Incentives in the form of additional monies which will be available to that municipality or that county if they will tax themselves or otherwise raise money for arts organizations in their area. The remainder is state responsibility. When we took, and I should go on before I get into state responsibility to one of the other consequences of the decline in private funding. As I said earlier, the pattern has been that private sector monies have been declining in real dollars. They're increasing in the total dollars each year, but they're not increasing at an inflation rate commensurate with the rest of the system. So their percentage of the system is declining from something in the 30% range, 36% range down to 25%. Just to stay at the 25% is going to require more and more dollars every year going into arts contributions. So much so that the monies that up to now have been going into not only operating support for arts organizations, but also contributions to capital fund drives. Capital fund drives for facilities, capital fund drives for endowments. Those two combined in a very few years will barely match the 25%, which means that if new capital fund programs are to keep coming on board, that those organizations which are very successful in pulling those off will in essence be taking money out of the system, which is needed just to maintain operating support for arts organizations here in the metropolitan area and all over the state. That leads us to the conclusion that capital fund drives may be a luxury that the state, on a statewide basis, is going to find it harder and harder to afford. And one of the recommendations, therefore, of the commission is going to be not that an organization or a new organization is going to be prohibited from a capital fund drive, but that there be established a voluntary procedure whereby, and probably administered by an agency such as the State Arts Board, an organization which anticipates receiving substantial public funds in the future would go through a needs assessment process just as now is in place for the construction of new hospitals, for example. So the reason being that an organization is obviously entitled, and we want to see and encourage the entire private industry free market economy maintain itself in the arts industry. That's been its success to date, and as I've said earlier, there's no way the public is going to be able to step in and make up the difference. So we can't do anything to discourage that. On the other hand, if an organization is to go off and launch something which ultimately is going to fall back on the public sector to pay for and require more dollars out of the existing limited pot, it's the commission's position that the public ought to have some sort of say, or at least the opportunity to express its disapproval at the incipiency of one of those projects. any organization which anticipates major public funding in the future, we are suggesting, submit to a voluntary needs assessment process, a public needs assessment process, before an organization such as the State Arts Board. Then, if the public has determined that, yes, there is in fact a need for that particular enterprise, operation, facility, endowment, or whatever, it's our further recommendation that the State Arts Board be empowered to research and make recommendations to the legislature ways in which the public can assist in that drive reaching its success, recognizing that the dollars from now on are going to be very, very scarce indeed. There are a number of ways, several of them have been used in the past on a one-shot isolated basis. If it is a facility, the facility could be in some fashion a county, municipal, or otherwise public or quasi-public facility, which would entitle itself to public bonding and the long-term amortization of its debt, rather than the very short-term that arts organizations historically have funded their projects. It also makes available to them a much lower interest rate that the public sector has than commercial bank loans. To the extent that it's a fund drive, and recognizing the public sector support role is roughly 20%, one way might conceivably be the State Arts Board being authorized to make matching grants or incentive grants similar to what several foundations now do, Bush Foundations, Hill Foundation, etc., whereby public monies could be available to stimulate additional private monies for a program, for a project, for which there has been certified a public need. The hope also, obviously, is that the needs assessment process will help to winnow out projects so that only those that there is a clear and compelling public need for, justification for, will get off the ground. The mere fact that an organization or a group of individuals are extremely successful in the short term in fundraising, in our opinion, may or may not be the sole determination as to whether that project is the best for the community for the next 20 to 50 years, that the public will be supporting it in some fashion or another. The next area I think I've come back to, wanted to come back to, and I think it's the one that's of most interest to all of you here, is what is the so-called bottom line? What do we see as the need? What do we see as what the state should be doing? How should it be divided up? On the basis of the trend model, and Jimmy is here so that if you want to get into it in greater detail, we can. I warn you, however, it is extremely technical. Our trend model that runs 100 pages of statistics and tables. But the end result, after we used a whole series of models to take account for inflation, to take account various concepts of inflation, take into account inflation plus any growth factors, etc., was to show that there is a statewide system deficit for the next fiscal year, that's 1978, of $1.9 million. It goes up each year from that. That is the amount of state monies we think the arts organizations collectively need for year one. And that dollar amount is based on only the shortfall after those other factors are taken out. 47% earned income, 8% operational support, 25% private support in the form of corporations, foundations, individual giving. It does not include a number of things. It does not include the cost of administering those funds or spreading them out. Those are, in our opinion, actual dollars needed by existing arts organizations. It does not include any special emphasis or public policy that the state wishes to impose on the system. That's what the organizations, in our opinion, need today before anything is done to it. If, as we expect, and in fact will be recommending, that there be an emphasis in funding on smaller arts organizations, non-metropolitan area arts development, that would be on top of the $1,000,009. That does not include funds for artists. And I want to take a minute to explain what the commission proposes on the whole area of artists and aid to artists and artist support. But that gives you what we regard as a sort of the first building block. And you can very easily add to that and figure out what the an appropriation request could be. I don't think the commission, we may be pressed to do so. I think if I had my own way, the commission will not be putting in a hard dollar, total dollar figure, because it is subject to some very arbitrary policy decisions. The need, however, the basic floor need, as far as we're concerned, is $1,900,000 plus administrative expenses, plus any additional public policies, public projects that the state wishes to see occur. To give you a sense, I believe the State Arts Board administrative budget in the most recent fiscal year is about $220,000. I think the State Arts Board would anticipate around $300,000 is needed to administer the funds, particularly in terms of the regional programming, development of regional arts councils, statewide planning that the commission is proposing. One of the charges the governor made to Minnesota was to the governor's commission was to consider the needs of individual artists as well as arts organizations and institutions and what could be done to assist and encourage them and their role in the arts community. The commission set up a subcommittee chaired by Ann Payson and Steve Sell to research that in some detail. They conducted interviews with, they sent out questionnaires to several hundred artists and interviewed in depth, I believe, 22 artists at great length, and came to a conclusion that there was a remarkable consensus in the arts community of professional working artists. The greatest needs were time, space, recognition, the ability to have a certain amount of independence from the need to earn a daily living, a break-even living, to be able to concentrate on their profession. The commission recommendations and the dollar amounts and the names of the program and so on are still to be refined, is to suggest that there be established on, in addition to the monies we are talking about here, a program whereby the state of Minnesota can establish a very limited number of extremely prestigious state fellowships, which will have a very large, we hope, stipend on them, and will therefore be a means of conveying substantial honor to an individual artist in any of the media. That in addition and below that, but that would be a very limited number each year granted, and it's the intention being to provide not only a means of support and in effect the equivalent of an academic sabbatical so that that artist could concentrate on his area of expertise, but that the mere granting of it would convey considerable public recognition and prestige to him or to her. The second layer would be a series of grants of either a project nature or in simple recognition of distinguished achievement in the arts. They would not be of the dollar magnitude and probably therefore not of the prestige of the first, but again would be quite limited in number and would still have a substantial dollar amount attached to them. Something I think the figures have gone around the commission, and I don't know how it will end up, but the range of $5,000 to $10,000 a year for each of those awards, for example, and a limited number of them, perhaps no more than 5 or 10 per year. But as you can see, each year that you do that, you will be providing an increasing number of artists who will, in some portion, be assisted. And in addition to that, that the State Arts Board be authorized to expend substantially more monies than are currently now available for individual project grants to artists and programs where, and grants for an artist to take on another artist as an assistant, as a pupil, if you will, to advance the state of the art and that individual artist's own development. Those are the general areas that we have come out with. We have a number of other recommendations. One, for example, is that the universe is really much larger than the primary arts organizations themselves. Primary arts organizations in commission terminology is an organization which whose primary function is the production, if you will, of art on a nonprofit basis. There are many organizations which are secondarily arts organizations. Classic case being, although this is a whole separate area which is researched and will be the subject of recommendations by the commission, educational system. Its primary function is education. It secondarily provides a tremendous amount of arts education in the process. But the universe is much larger than just the arts organizations themselves. One major area is community organizations, which are arts user organizations. This is particularly true in areas other than the metropolitan area, but it's also true here. There are many types of organizations which are not arts organizations themselves, but which are already, and with some program of more systematic availability of information and funding, could be far more users of arts in Minnesota, and that is, in our opinion, an inexpensive way that the whole question of accessibility of citizens of the state to the arts can be tremendously increased. Those organizations are things such as libraries, museums, park systems, the corrections system, and so on. We would like to see the mandate of the State Arts Board expanded and public monies provided so that those organizations can apply for a grant to employ, perform, be a user of what is otherwise an arts organization or individual artists. The educational system itself has tremendous dollars invested in the arts, in arts education, in arts training. I think the figure is something like, is it $100 million a year? When you hear a figure like that, that's based on the information we have available through the educational system itself, through the Higher Education Coordinating Commission, the college systems, these are public school systems, primary K through 12, and so on. That's the kind of money the state is already investing in art, in arts education. And with that type of base, the type of dollars we're talking about, in our opinion, is a very reasonable sum, 2%, 3%, 4% of what the state is already expending. For the very top of the pyramid, the organizations and the individuals who are full-time involved in the arts. The $100 million, incidentally, is only something like 5% in turn of the total public expenditure in this state in education. It's not such a shocking sum when you see it in perspective of the system that it is a part of. but it is a very large sum in terms of what the public is currently spending officially for the arts, which is only a half million dollars a year. We would like to see the means of communication expanded, and we look to something like the State Arts Board to provide funds, to have funds made available to it, to encourage information dissemination and grants availability to these other systems, if you will, to employ the arts organizations and individual artists, and in that fashion expand their impact on the state as a whole. Let me come back, though, to the $1.9 million. The commission, I hope, will not have to devise an allocation formula of so many dollars to this organization, so many dollars to that organization, so many dollars to this region, so many dollars to that region. That, as I said earlier, I think is ultimately a very arbitrary policy decision. And it's one that has to change from year to year, from month to month. And I would be very reluctant to try and put something down in paper which suddenly became carved into granite as the permanent formula for the arts in Minnesota. Having said all that, it's quite obvious, and we've already felt the pressure to make some sort of explanation or recommendation, or if not that, some sort of example of how that money could be distributed. We will probably come up with two or three models. One, however, is if you simply were to be very arbitrary and concentrate only on $1.9 million, bearing in mind that I would anticipate the money available would be larger than that. At least I would hope it would be larger than that, because that's only the system-wide need. And the state has other ideas as a policy-making body than simply providing the need. It wants to see certain programs happen. It wants to see certain areas develop and so on. To the extent it takes that out of those existing dollars, it distorts the need within the system. Some will be paid more, and others will get less than they really do need. So we would hope that more would be available than that. But if it were $1.9 million and it were arbitrarily split for, say, $1 million for what the commission has described as statewide arts resources, and those are organizations which would remain under the jurisdiction of the State Arts Board because they are statewide in their impact. They travel all over the state. They are involved all over the state. Simply took $1,000, not statewide arts resources, major arts organizations under the former terminology of the statute. The $430,000 would be available to arts organizations within Region 11 exclusively, although the money could be allocated to bring other arts organizations into Region 11 if that were the decision. It would be money that's available in addition to, separate from, and not available to organizations which are otherwise funded as statewide arts resources, however big that list is. So there would be primarily all organizations other than what were under the former statute called major arts organizations, what we call statewide arts resources, because we can envision the concept to be broader than just an arts organization, and certainly broader than just an arts organization located in the metropolitan area. That money, I think, has to be compared to the total money available today in the state arts budget for all arts organizations in Minnesota of about $300,000. If this formula were applied, there would be $430,000 available for arts organizations other than statewide arts resources in just Region 11. With regard to the $1 million, if the state arts board were to allocate that on the identical basis that it allocated the monies which were earmarked in the last biennial budget, which were $100,000 a year for 2 years, to major arts organizations. We prepared a table based on the exact formula that the State Arts Board used to determine what those organizations previously classified as major arts organizations would receive. The table, and we have them here in front of you, in front if you are interested in them, together with the monies on a regional basis, shows the way the State Arts Board allocated that money. It took half of the money and allocated it basically equally within the class of six organizations, and it took half of the money and allocated it basically on the income, on the percentage of income each of those organizations had compared to the total income those organizations as a class had. And it broke down to something like $200,000 for the Minnesota Orchestra and about $190,000 to the Guthrie Theater, and about $180,000 to the Society of Fine, to the Minneapolis Institute of Arts, and about $160,000 to the Walker, and about $122,000 to the St. Paul Chamber Orchestra, and about $109,000 to the Children's Theater. That's if $1 million were allocated exactly as the State Arts Board did previously. I wouldn't anticipate that they would follow the identical formula. I wouldn't anticipate that the same organizations would be there, just that number of organizations, and they get just that percentage. But that gives you sort of a rough framework and only a hypothetical model of monies available and how we would see one way that those monies could go. Bear in mind that we do not, as a commission, anticipate taking the role of making a recommendation that the total dollars to be appropriated to the State Arts Board for fiscal year 1978 should be X, the dollars allocated to statewide arts resources should be Y, and the dollars allocated to regional arts funding should be Z. I would hope we will not be going much further than saying the statewide system need is $1,900,000. The need, to that has to be added additional funds for special projects and administrative expenses. Well, very briefly, is approximately status of affairs with the commission. We do anticipate having a number of other findings. They simply have not been refined yet presented to the commission for discussion. I can give you an idea on one or two, for example. Recognizing that there is going to be a tremendous need to get private sector monies into the system, just to keep it on the basis that we've been talking about, one of the recommendations I think will be that to the extent the private sector foundations, corporations, etc., are looking to the commission for recommendations as to how they can best use their money to help arts organizations, that grants that assist in developing not only new audiences but new sources of funds for these organizations, new members who will contribute, these organizations should be encouraged. The commission may, having just flagged the problem of how serious it is to expand the base of support and how highly concentrated that base of support is at the moment, may recommend that the State Arts Board or the legislature itself consider other alternatives. One that some members of the commission have liked was some sort of tax credit or tax incentive to do it. One that the Citizens League came up with was some sort of statewide or greatly expanded voucher system that the State Arts Board could fund. There are undoubtedly many more. I think the commission will identify the problem and indicate that several suggestions have been made and urge that far more research and attention be devoted to that area. I think one area the commission intends to make recommendations is to the way arts organizations as nonprofit entities should conduct their affairs in a public forum, that recognizing that arts organizations operate a very privileged status. Contributions to them are tax exempt. They receive public funds. They provide public services, although they are a private corporation in their current status, that they ought to act far more like, not a state agency, but a highly accountable public institution. And that gets into areas as to whether board meetings should be open to the public, whether the those organizations should publish annually their financial statements, whether those organizations should have at least a minimum number of board meetings a year, and a few very general sort of standards like that. I don't know that the commission, I'm sure the commission will not mandate that. I think it will merely make or recommend that that be mandated. I think it will certainly make some recommendations in that direction. I think that's where we are at the moment. As I said earlier, these are still in a tentative stage. They have come this far along, however, and we wanted to wait until we had something tangible to say to you. But we wanted to convene you together so that you could give us the benefit of your thoughts before the commission made any final decisions on the matter. And that's the whole purpose of this meeting. So with that, I'd like to open this to general discussion and ask your comments on where we are and what you think we've done wrong or what you'd like to see discussed if we possibly can that we've not gotten into. I think since we are making minutes of this meeting, it would be helpful for anyone who wishes to speak to identify themselves by name and the organization they represent so that we can properly reflect that in our record. All right. David.
Can I do that?
No.
Just talk about me.
My name is David Stanley, and I'm the director of the Walker Art Center, but I'm speaking as an individual, and I wonder if you have considered how great a departure it is from the normal relationship between the state and the cultural arts to have a certificate of need process, whether voluntary, whether whatever. It strikes me that it's like the institution of Petronius or perhaps Emily Post, and ill-advised.
I don't necessarily agree with the certificate of need language. I thought at one point that's, you know, a really great idea. I do agree, though, with the concept of a public review process. I think that Steve is right, that there is a total consensus on the commission that the arts are basically private, not to remain that way. The European model is not something to emulate in terms of the quality of art services. So to the extent that, and I'm not sure how Steve feels about this, to the extent that he likens this statement of certificate of need to the hospital process, I personally don't agree with it. I think that essentially, though, there must be a public review process and a comment on the findings of that process. If the organization then insists on going ahead with whatever the proposal was that it came to the process with, fine. It does it with the risk, however, of not obtaining state financing for the programs that come out of that process.
That has then all the effect that the certificate of need in the healthcare system effectively has. If you don't get state financing, you are not eligible for whatever Medicaid, Medicare. That's why you can't do a hospital, and that would be why you couldn't do this. If I were speaking as representing a well-established, well-endowed, and well-placed organization, everything would be a hell of a deal, because it is contrary to the free market forces that would call for creative new endeavors that had initially only modest public support, and would make it very difficult to get started on something that could change. It strikes me as anti-creative and pro-status quo, and many of us here do indeed represent organizations that are well entrenched, so it may not be bad for us, but it ain't good policy.
I'm Marcy Dowd from the Cricket Theater. I'd like to thank David for speaking up for the Cricket Theater. I agree with that. There are so many examples of arts institutions that have grown and would not have been able to grow with this sort of certificate of need type thing. Our individual case in itself of having to find a new facility within a year, what would that have done to it? How would you define a clear and compelling public need? That is a rather frightening phrase in terms of arts organizations and restrictions on creativity and new horizons and new endeavors in the arts organizations themselves. I find that whole idea frightening.
I'm the associate director of the Minneapolis Institute of Art. Frankly, this is the first time I have seen this document. I'm assuming it's the first time everyone on this table has seen the document, and there is no way I would be idiot enough to speak for my institution without taking it back and having other people take a look at it. But as a private citizen, I must add my voice to David's. It strikes me that anything of that sort is locking the barn after the host has been stolen from those of us who have already built, and built largely within the last 15 years, would probably not be affected by this, at least in the foreseeable future. But it would most effectively and efficiently maintain the status quo and prevent the kind of growth that this community prides itself on, most of which has happened since 1960. Not since 1972, or whatever this document says. But I would like to ask for one clarification, which struck me rather strange when I was seeing the statistics. Are there really only 890 paid for people in the arts community in the state of Minnesota? Or am I misreading this?
The 25,000 figure is sort of a rough figure. There are, according to our surveys, 230 responding organizations. All of the organizations who had expenditures above $75,000, with the exception of one organization, reported 1,489 paid people in their organizations in the last, and I can give you a breakdown of how those run. The 270 administrative, 640 artistic, 82 auxiliary programs, that's teachers, librarians, 102 facilities personnel, four management consultant firms, and 391 guest artists, for a total of 1,489. Out of 230 organizations that respond.
I think that this document is going to be very widely disseminated, but that ought to be cleaned up.
Yes, I agree.
I mean, that's a lot of money to, you know, support 890 people.
Is that Robert from Shelby City, or I'd like to concur with Mark and Ruth and Dave. It would be a question today. I have a question on the first one. I guess I find it hard to believe that 72% of all adult Minnesotans over the age of 18 attended at least one event. Where do you get that figure?
Perhaps, should I just address that? The commission last spring hired Mid-Continent Surveys, which is a reputable outfit, and they did a reputable survey. I was satisfied coming in when I first came in on the commission, and having a background in statistics and whatnot, with their formula for going out and surveying Minnesotans, and they went out and knocked door to door and asked Minnesotans whether or not they'd attended, and they listed 17 different kind of arts events during the last 6 months, or during the last year, I guess, for this questionnaire. And the Minnesota citizens responded either they'd attended at least one event of that kind, or two to four events of that kind, or five events of that kind. And so you can't really get an attendance figure off of this, but we took 11 of those events, which in this case, the 11 events, the 11 categories that they were presented that we finally looked at, called arts events. They were asked about movies, and they were asked about attending dinner theaters and the like. We didn't do those. But the 11 events that we're talking about are college artistic performances, symphonies, ballets, operas, plays and musicals, art shows and fairs, art museums and galleries, other classical music performances, dance performances, and jazz performances. And presented with a list like that, 72% of the Minnesotans said that they attended at least one of those kinds of events during the last year. And that's going door to door. No, it wasn't the same fair. It was an art fair or an art show. I guess I'm satisfied with those numbers.
Mary Sulu, from the Minnesota State Arts Board. Should we change the subject one moment? I'm concerned about a statement that you made, Steve, concerning funding organizations in the category that come roughly under chambers of commerce, schools, libraries, correctional institutions. There is nothing in the current Minnesota State Arts Board Enabling Act that prohibits us from funding any of those organizations. And as a matter of fact, most of the local arts development funds that we award go to those very organizations. And I guess we find ourselves in a situation where there's lots of desire to do more, it's just a lack of funds.
I think the, I appreciate that clarification. What the thrust of the recommendation is going to be, as I understand it, is to try and encourage much more public monies being available in this direction as a vehicle whereby accessibility can be tremendously expanded without that great a cost, that we can be far more effective if monies are made available in this direction. The point's well taken. Next.
Steve Dixon, on Children's Theater Board. I have a couple of questions related to the trend model study. The figures taken from 72 to 75 were taken during a period when at least a couple of major organizations were coming off of capital drives. And I'm a little concerned about how these 10 trends, particularly when I am feeling an assumption here that the commission is saying that there's no possibility of expanding to any major degree the private donor market for operations. And those of us who have been in fundraising, in effect, have to work on just the opposite theory, that there is a potential for great expansion. I think the Children's Theater experience last year showed that there was at least a certain amount of sympathy vote, if not room for expansion. I'm worried about this being picked apart by somebody as far as the commission stands. The other thing I'm concerned about is that the recommendations run contrary to programs just being begun by the National Endowment, which tend to increase the incentive for additional money, and particularly for capital drives, by using a large amount of matching funds. And I fear that many institutions, both small and large, since they're both eligible, would find it difficult not to want to taste some of that money and at least try. Both of these are concerns I'd like to raise at this point.
I'll let Jimmy respond to the statistical information, but to answer part of your question, or to address part of your question, my understanding on the data to date is that there has been shown a decline in the rate of growth of private sector contributions, and therefore the percentage of private sector contributions towards total costs. That's an historic trend. We're postulating that the decline does not continue anymore. But that means that substantial new dollars over annual giving, over inflation, have to come into the system each year. And therefore, specifically, there has to be far more focus on developing new money, developing new contributions, and expanding the base of giving, the numbers of givers and the dollars given by numbers of givers, to keep the system going. I think it's simply looking out, recognizing that the percentages, that because the dollars have been growing so fast, the percentages have been falling, and simply to maintain that is going to require increasingly more dollars each year, and a large jump, and the only way that we see it is expanding the base. But to go to specifically the statistics, I think, Jim, you should respond.
Yeah, I'd like to make three comments. First one is that we did look at capital campaigns and endowment campaigns during the same period, 1969 to 1975, and found that, yes, there are big amounts of capital monies taken out of the system, very large amounts, in 72, 73, and 74 when the two big buildings were going up, $13 million in 72 alone. And that there seemed to be that money there. $13 million in 71, excuse me. But that if you looked at the trend over the period of time, except for 1971, the absolute dollars to all accounts, to endowment, capital, and operating, seemed to be about level, so that all the monies taken out for capital were sort of off the top and left only a certain amount for operating. The second thing about that is that the national trends, which wouldn't reflect what is happening in Minneapolis, although that has a big impact on the Minnesota trends. The national trends, national studies, they go out and they study 500 sort of major institutions in the country usually. And we find that the national trends look very much like the Minnesota trends, except for Minnesota trends run about 3 years after the national trends for these big organizations. So that when we say that private sector support leveled off at $12 million in Minnesota from 1972 to 1975, the national system shows that it leveled off in 1969. From 1969 to 72, that leveling effect occurred on a national level for big organizations. So we find roughly the same trend there. And the third thing I'd like to say is that, yes, there are organizations that go out and start unique new fundraising campaigns and have some success. But when you look at all the organizations in Minnesota and you talk to them about their giving, for instance, individuals, you find that most of the organizations depend on the same individuals year after year, and they get the same dollar amounts. And there might be more money out there, but not currently as that's being collected or asked for. And those are the only comments I have to make. I'm fairly confident in the trend model in terms of what it looks like nationally and compared to other states.
One of the things that drew the concern of this question, Dixon Bond again for the tape, all right, is that it seems to me that what we really need is a number of incentives which are going to expand the abilities of the organizations to ask, to expand the number of donors, the people who are concerned and aware. There are some big potential dollars out there and some small potential dollars, but there certainly are potential dollars. And I guess one of the things that I find a little bit disturbing about the recommendation, which ties a little bit back to what the other said on a certificate of need basis, is that I see some incentives being created for individual artists or community organizations through the recommendations. But as I mentioned to the State Arts Board in their distribution formula meeting a couple of weeks ago, I'm concerned that the major institutions tend to be losing incentives and not having the incentives necessary to have them compete at the same time or maintaining the protection and status quo. And I see that as a negative result, because not only don't you have to compete, you don't even have to perform. I mean, you're protected basically by the formalization of the process. And I see that as a disturbing fact. And that's with compliments to the Commission for Creating Incentives in the other area.
Phyllis Crimmins, the Guthrie Theater. Just sort of carry on from what Dixon said in regard to developing new donors. A group of membership directors of quite a few local institutions, both arts and other institutions, have been meeting in the last several months discussing the potential that is out there, and we are all certain that we are nowhere near developing our potential, but it's a very expensive process to do. And the Guthrie is in the third week of its fall membership campaign, and using some computer techniques which are fairly expensive, we are proving that potential exists. But again, it is an expensive process, and it takes some fairly sophisticated techniques. And we're thinking of cooperative ways that we can develop these programs, which leads me into the next kind of underlying feeling I have about this report. As strongly as I feel about public support for the arts, I still want a lot of the initiative to come from the individual, still to be a marketplace situation. Not a survival of the fittest situation, hardly, but still keep that open marketplace aspect. But I think some of this could, in time, with improper practicing and controls, probably begin to erode. And to work in an enabling sort of way, and I very much believe in cooperative ventures among institutions to share these sorts of expenses and expertise for self-help.
I just want to make a brief comment, Dave Dernberger, for the record, or the tape. I'm on here because I'm a contributor, not because I'm an arts person, so I feel somewhat qualified to respond to both of your concerns. One of the things that this report points out to all of you, I think, is what you already knew, except that it's got a lot of figures connected with it. And one of the things that you all knew is that, and I know you development people knew this in particular because I started this whole process with you, that a lot of the private contributions was coming from a very narrow base. And I think one of the conclusions that, and we proved that through the analysis, both corporate, particularly corporate and foundation, but one of the conclusions that I've come to is that it is not the total responsibility of the arts organization to expand that base. It's the responsibility of the corporate and foundation giving community. So that when you see the written recommendations of the private sector committee, I think you're going to see a variety of suggestions, probably not as many as incentives as you'd like to see, because most of those are lodged in the public sector. But you'll see a lot of suggestions and a lot of, in effect, mandates to the corporate and foundation community to develop programs for support for the arts. That it shouldn't, if we rely on the arts community to come to the giver, it is only the you two and a couple others in this room, Mr. Stanley and others, who have the capacity or the knowledge or the experience to know, number one, who the givers are, number two, what their capacity to give is, and number three, the key to open their door. So I feel strongly that our recommendation should be to the private sector that you go, in effect, to the arts community, and by that I mean the broad arts community, and particularly the smaller and developing arts organizations, with programs of your own for supporting the art. So the specifics of all of that is still being refined, but I think that's my feeling about private sector support for the arts, and I think that's one of the things that our recommendations say here, is that the private sector is going to have to carry a much larger burden than it has carried in the past.
David Stanley.
David Stanley from the Cape again. It seems to me, as I look at this, that there's a very strong bias in favor of operating funds and against endowment funds. I think I can put brick and mortar aside. Those organizations which have a degree of financial health and less dependency upon public funding are those which are well endowed. I represent, again, I'm not speaking for them, and there's one next to me. A discouragement of endowment drives, even though it takes $17 out of the community which could have been used for operating funds, it seems to me to be an encouragement of dependency upon some other source of revenue, the public sector, or a perhaps unreliable annual fund drive. I don't know, we don't have a big annual fund drive, so we're not into that particular. I feel or sense a substantial bias both in the report and in the discussion against endowment. And that's what makes three of the four major institutions in Minneapolis at least work.
I don't think on the part of anybody on the staff there's a bias against endowments. If anything, that whole issue, we did not spend a lot of time looking at that whole issue. We probably could have gone into education and other places where it's an acceptable form of financing and done a thorough analysis and made a recommendation. All I think we've said here is that the process which we are recommending, the planning process and everything else, ought to be cognizant of the fact that the impact of endowment drives and capital fund drives on a presently predictable sources of income. I think you can read into the fact that we even mention it what you have read into it, but that is not, as far as I can tell, a bias on the part of anybody here or a conclusion that we've come to in terms of how to finance the art.
I suggest there's a small step to having certification control, what have you, on annual fund drives. And it's a step you chose not to take, which strikes me as a bias in favor of operating funds and against endowment. Observation.
James Newman, Minnesota Dance Theater. I'd like to thank the commission, first of all, for the thought that they put into such forms of support for endowment or capital drives, public bonding, or long-term amortization of debts. That said, I must lend my voice to a general chorus of disapproval of our certificate of need. I concur with Ruth Hummelkamp when she said it's sort of like locking the barn door after the horses galloped off. Successful capital drives mounted by the Minnesota Orchestra or the Society of Fine Arts should not be used as a criteria for denying equal opportunity for organizations who happen to need space a few more years down the line. I would think that if the certificate of public need was given formal by the Governor's Commission on the Arts of the Minnesota State Arts Board, it would have the same effect as like in small communities where you can't go door to door and ask for money if you don't have a card from the local Chamber of Commerce. And I would hope that once again we could count on the brilliance and wisdom of development officers everywhere to generate sufficient monies to support worthwhile projects, whether or not they be capital or endowment projects. And then to digress, I would like to ask if the commission is going to make a specific recommendation that arts organizations that qualify for as statewide resources, will they be limited to that, or will they be allowed to participate in other forms of support from the state? Can I make myself clear?
Yeah.
Are you going to make a specific recommendation on that point?
No, there's no question, but what the concept of a statewide arts resource is the one that we develop after looking at the approach taken in New York, Michigan, and some other states to try, and including Minnesota, and the sort of process that took place hurriedly last summer or this summer to define a major arts organization. We felt that process did was zero in, as the Minnesota process proved, on six existing nonprofit arts organizations and took $125,000 one year and $75,000 another year and divvied it up like Steve indicated here and gave everybody a piece of the action. Our concept of a state arts resource is much broader, and the examples we use are basically programmatical. Or might be facilities. And the examples we use, for example, are the stage at the Northrop, at Northrop Auditorium. That if at some point in time after this concept were adopted, Ross Smith had come to the State Arts Board and asked funding to do what he did a couple years ago for that stage so he could bring in the Met and major dance companies, that would qualify as a state arts resource for state funding. The string workshop that St. Olaf conducts every summer for teachers of stringed instruments will fill an apparent void in this state at the elementary and secondary level for teachers of stringed instruments, could very well qualify for a grant from a state arts resource fund. Obviously, the orchestra and the St. Paul Chamber Orchestra and the Institute and others can also qualify to the extent that they meet those criteria. But it is not exclusive of private funding or earned income or anything else.
No, it wasn't that. I mean, if the Minnesota Orchestra receives $200,000 as a statewide arts resource, would they then be able to apply through Region 11 for $52,000 to put on a string workshop?
For people in the metropolitan area?
Yes. I
would guess there'd be no reason why they could not.
I think that question is a kind of policy decision that we would hope and expect the State Arts Board to address itself to and devise some criteria on, and it would become a part of the statewide plan. Because I think you have a series of considerations there. Part of the answer would depend on whether, if money were designated for support of a statewide arts resource, obviously that organization should not compete for support money with other arts organizations. If part of the money were earmarked support and part were available for projects or programs,
then they ought to be able perhaps to compete for programs elsewhere with other organizations for program money. But there has to be some recognition and differentiation within the system as to what are the priorities at each level. There are certain responsibilities in Region 11 which should be met before Region 11 monies are used for other things than those first Region 11 priorities. Mr. Engel.
Don Engel, Minnesota Orchestra. Steve, I may have missed one of the essential things that you were including in your comments about the level of shortfall annually. If this is 1.9 or whatever the amount is, does that have any bearing on what the appropriation, state appropriation might be? Is this serving as a guide for funding recommendations to the legislature? And would that be the concept in the future after an initial pattern were set with this?
We have gone on the assumption that after we have produced a set of nice general statements and guidelines and principles to be followed and so on, that we are still going to be pressed as a commission to come in with a figure of some sort.
The recommendation.
The bottom line. We are trying to avoid having the bottom line be a categorical dollar figure, this is it. We think we can be very helpful in providing one of the big elements, perhaps the biggest element in that figure, which is 1.9 million for the next year only. And we can show, if nothing else changes and everything else will, what it would be for the biennium after that and the biennium after that, because we have a table which carries those figures out. That's a building block figure. You have to add to it other components. And one that we're trying to avoid adding to it is how much money the state wants to invest for public policy reasons, because it wants to foster development in outstate areas, for example, because it wants to encourage certain types of programs, such as perhaps for the correctional system or whatever. All of those, I think, in our opinion, can have a dollar figure put on them and can be added to or taken out. But we'd like to see recognition that there is a basic need of 1.9 million plus administrative costs, which gets you to two or something like that, and then money on top of that for anything else. David Stanton.
Do you propose to recommend to the legislature that an appropriation from the general fund or elsewhere be made in some amount? Do you expect to recommend appropriation, or are you only going to identify need?
David? I think we are definitely going to make a recommendation that substantially increased public monies be spent. And we're going to say that it has to be something in excess of 1.9 million. So we are going to be making a recommendation.
Recommended appropriation in excess of 1.9 million.
That's correct.
Good.
Bear in mind the 1.9 million is not on top of the 500,000. It's part on top and part the same funds.
Which 500 are we talking about?
The 500,000 current state appropriation per year for the 2 years of the biennium for the State Arts Board. We're saying that money includes about $220,000 administrative expense and approximately just under $300,000 of actual grant-making funds. We're saying 1.9 million plus administrative expense ought to be the figure plus other things.
So it's not a new 1.9 million, it's a new 1.5 million, maybe.
Something like that.
It's
not a new 2.2 million, it's a new 1.7 million or something like that. Yes?
I'm Azura, I'm president of the Pillsbury Wayne Cultural Arts Center. I'd like to respond in a couple of ways. We had a hard time responding to the survey because we were sort of relegated by the surveyors as where we belonged in the survey. We thinking we were a small arts organization and being told that we must be fit into the community organization. We do sort of tread a narrow line there. I find it positive and would support Mundu involved in being jointly sponsored. On page 9, we recommend that we small arts organizations participate in jointly sponsored things with the nonprofit larger organization. But I also just must concur with the certification of need, which I think really relegates the small arts organizations to never becoming self-help. It's sort of like you don't even get low-income housing. You're not even eligible for it. And in a way, long run, it would cost people more money because as your ability to generate income comes, you have no place to go to generate it and all this sort of thing. I also think it eventually would affect the quality of art in Minnesota.
If I can make a sort of a general comment in response to all of you, I would have been extremely disappointed if we had not been able to produce some fireworks in our recommendations all across the board. I would think we would not have been doing our function, which obviously is to stimulate thought and present some controversial ideas and try and refine them in the process. I think I have to speak on behalf of the commission, since there are only about two of us as commissioners here today, in saying that the concept of recognizing a problem is there and coming up with some sort of a solution to it is very, very strong in the commission. I would also have to say that the commissioners have been equally strong on recognizing that the arts in this country have reached an unusual state of development as a result of a free and uninhibited free enterprise system, and that there is, in the words of some of the commissioners, an absolute need to be able to fail and a need to be able to succeed, and that some organizations are going to have to grow, will grow and prosper, and others will disappear. And it's very important that the public sector not get in the way of that process. I think the discussion today has been extremely helpful in highlighting what at least you as major components in the system regard as a problem in this type of an approach. I think there are many other approaches to it. Dixon Bond pointed out, providing incentives and not disincentives is a very good alternative. But I would like to ask, and I would emphasize that we will be taking these comments back to the commission. We brought them to you, the recommendations to you, in very preliminary form so that we could have the opportunity of feedback from the community, not that we were going to be able to establish a unanimous approval of anything. But we finally did, but that we did want to try and be as responsive as we could to all elements in the community before we made final decisions. I would like to hear also if you have other areas of criticism, and I would also add that this is not the absolute final moment to get word in. I would appreciate all of you reviewing this, and bearing in mind that it is a very preliminary draft, and giving us the benefit of your comments after you've had a chance to analyze some of the concepts further. But I would like to pick up, while we still have a little time left, any other comments and criticism, particularly in other areas.
I'd like to congratulate the commission on the product to date and on the process of starting with a preliminary document that can be discussed in this manner. I think that's very healthy. Just one last little comment on that particular subject. To separate the endowment from the capital campaigns in terms of their short-term and long-term effect. I think the endowment campaigns perhaps have a healthy effect long-term that wouldn't be observed in such a way. And then to switch to another topic on recommendations on page, it relates to, on page 8, recommendations regarding public sector support of the arts. Speaking as a resident of Minneapolis and Hennepin County, I think Minneapolis specifically is very strapped financially and has a very negative cash situation in regard to the amount of money it generates in the state economy and the amount of relief it gets from the state. And I think it's very unrealistic to expect the city of Minneapolis out of any of its existing or potential revenues to be able to support the arts. They had trouble coming up with $30,000 to continue to support the City Arts Commission. The argument that went back and forth on that was the state legislature mandated to the city that they must cut all frills. And then on the other hand, the city is being told that they can't expect revenues from the arts if they don't provide some of their own. So we were caught right in the middle, and we're able to hang on and just walk in place barely. So in that regard, I would really like that worked over in regard to the whole state and the fiscal disparity situation, and trying to be a strong advocate from the point of view of the city of Minneapolis. And the county funding here is misleading also, in that the county has been funding the society only through the park system, which is unusual. And this year, 76, for the first time, allocated some other money, so set a precedent for that, but it's been an uneven situation.
I think the commission's thrust to date has been, and the language is very, very carefully chosen because of just this type of sensitivity, and not exclusively vis-a-vis Minneapolis. In fact, it came up from somebody from St. Paul, that the commission encourage but not mandate as a public policy. The public policy encourage but not mandate as a goal 40% local public funding support. And local is very broad. It includes county. And by in terms encourage, we would be thinking, I think at least in terms of the discussion of the commission, that what we're talking about here is a kind of the $1,000,009, for example, the floor that the system needs right now. That there be programs whereby communities could get more money above the floor if they were able to do other things to get that money. And communities, as in a very broad sense, it can be the entire development region, Region 11, Metropolitan Council, for example, or the county or whatever. There are a whole variety of ways, and what we're really suggesting is that more thought be given to a whole variety of other ways to encourage money flowing into the system.
I would like to really endorse that concept.
Ruth Hemlicker.
I just want to make one comment, one that I trust this meeting is not being construed as the reaction of various arts institutions and arts organizations who are sitting around this table, since we all were handed this as we walked in, and as I said before, I certainly am not responding on behalf of my institution. I would expect that there would be follow-up meetings prior to the time that any action or any recommendations were taken. And second of all, just because I looked around and I don't see anybody who's going to speak to it, I would like to ask a question in regard to recommendations on support for individual artists. Number one, I guess I would assume that these recommendations are the recommendations made by the subcommittee that Ann and Steve headed. And did that committee indeed make a recommendation that Minnesota fellows who would receive stipends of the amount suggested here would that their works, which would be supported during that year, would become the property of the state of Minnesota? Was that a recommendation from that committee?
That has not, the subcommittee report has been recommended in principle, has been approved in principle by the full commission, with the details to be debated out, so that there's no agreement yet. If in fact the commission will make a dollar recommendation, I don't know. No, there's been some discussion on the full commission level as to whether the fellowship, in fact, ought to be a work product type fellowship, or whether it ought to be a strict, unencumbered fellowship, and I think there's a difference of opinion on that. But these are really points for discussion and nothing more than that, and they come to you in that very raw form. They're really there to provoke discussion.
Steve, just again, Dick Sabine, to support Ruth, having been through trying to set up a sculpture project for Northfield through the State Arts Board. I also think that's a real problem with that particular recommendation, and I don't think it becomes necessarily much of a deal for the selected artist, particularly anybody who is working in major sculpture or anything else. And I think it's something you have to carefully review to see exactly what it is you intend to mean.
Your criticism then, or comments, if I understand it, is concern that in some fashion the award making would be tied to the product, and therefore a discussion of the product rather than the merits of the artist.
My concern is really greater than that. It is that an artist elected for his to develop his talent may or may not be able to do so based on the stipend, depending on what it is he does. Somebody may draw lines on paper and provide that to the state at the end of the year at no significant cost and have well developed his ability to draw lines on paper. Somebody else may do a major metal sculpture in which his cost exceeds $25,000. And the way it's written now, it does not allow for those types of differences within the program, and in fact may be a severe detriment to some artists and a great advantage to others. And I think this is something that has to be carefully looked at. That's all.
Artists like Dominic
Argento, yeah. Royalties of different foundations would be great.
And I found that a strange recommendation from
One other question, Stephen. Did the commission give any thought to matching grants from state monies to units of local government as an incentive to increase?
Yes, specifically.
Okay.
That was what I intended to say in reference to the 40%.
Okay. That was not clear.
I don't understand the question or the answer.
To match monies set up. The Northfield Arts Guild just got $2,000 from Northfield because we thought long and loud. It may be that $2,000 would have been easier and more meaningful, and it may be that CASM might do something similar if another $2,000, based on that $2,000, would come from the state money, or something like that.
Yeah, if that's confined to this program for individual artists, I don't have any problem.
No, I'm off of individual artists now, and it's totally different.
Okay, then I get back to the concern that the young lady over here expressed, and that is, I guess I recognize the problem of Minneapolis and Hennepin County, and I recognize that the Hennepin County taxpayers are putting more into the arts than anybody else. Now, you can argue they get a lot back because of the presence of the facilities and the organization in the community. But I guess I am personally would oppose specific program matching grants requiring, you know, if the orchestra is going to get a new something or other, some new program, that Minneapolis has to come up with a matching grant, or Pillsbury Waite is going to get $50,000 for this, Minneapolis has to match.
David, this is not at all what I had intended to mean by the comment. I guess my comment would be more related to a community, let's again pick a Northfield as an outstate community. Let's say they're willing to budget $2,000 for the arts. Let's say as a result of that, they are given another $2,000 in state money, so they in fact can distribute $4,000 to the arts. All of that
right.
Doesn't have to go to any one organization.
Okay.
It doesn't have to go for one purpose. It can put a public sculpture in town by hiring an artist and support an arts agency. I'm talking about a formula that creates the incentive to create the funds, not one that creates a distribution formula.
Right.
I was on
the I'm trying to ask questions.
Sorry.
I have a couple of comments. One, of course, on the one that I'm Rose Moran from the Minnesota Museum. I would also like to comment on the basis of endowment funds, simply because I think quite frequently endowment funds are dedicated to developing a program that supports itself and takes the burden off the public sector to support it. It's probably true of the orchestra and others more than it is art institutions, which I represent. But we too try to get programs endowed so that we don't have to go to the public sector for funds to maintain them when the federal funds run out. Another area of that, I think, is that we ought to consider that endowment funds very frequently come from out of state, from friends of institutions that are not residents of the state, but who might have long-term association with it. They need to cut off those funds in major endowment fund draws. I think we, my point was covered on the area of art purchase for the state. I really think most literary people or musicians would object to losing the royalties on the work they produced during the year. One last, and I've been saving the, my first question is on a completely different area and is really just a question on attendance. I remember that some breakdown of age attendance was asked for on the survey. Is there any plan to follow the possible, the potential support that is now developed by using, by developing programs for children and young people so that they ultimately can be projected as basic supporters for the arts? Or is this pretty far afield and in the too far distant future for this commission to undertake? We speak here mainly of adults and adult use and adult support. And I wondered if there was a development plan.
The answer to that is that that is the type of policy decision that the state arts board itself should be addressing itself to as part of its comprehensive planning process. One of the needs is obviously the financial support is a function of the audience that is involved in and feels a part of and relating to a particular organization, and there's a need to develop that base. But I think that the specifics of that are part of the State Arts Board planning process and the organizations themselves.
In terms of the commission's work, maybe I can address it. The data that came in from the arts organizations on attendance, and particularly museums and visual arts groups who put on exhibits for free, wasn't very good because you can't count people who come in for free, and particularly children, very well. And so we aren't using that as the primary focus of our attendance data, but rather we're using the probe study, which was done by Mid-Continent, which focuses on adults. But to talk about children and talk about them as future consumers of art in Minnesota, we find that there's a very high attendance rate at our arts institutions, and part of the reason is because of what our educational institutions do in teaching the arts. And to the extent that the commission report focuses on children and their future as supporters of the arts, it will do so in the education section. And we'll point out that Minnesota has an excellent, excellent education system in the arts.
More or less what
I've been hearing. Okay, any other questions, comments?
Thank you
very much. Please get back to us with further comments if you have them as quickly as possible so we can incorporate those as
I can only go on
commission discussion.
No, on the 29th, I think I'll go in the camera.